How's everybody doing? It's been a long day, hasn't it? Nice. It was pretty nice out, a little windy. Tonight we're going to pick up right where we left off last week. We're just going to continue looking at the book of Nehemiah. So we're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 4 tonight. Let me kind of remind you of the outline of the book. The first six chapters are all about rebuilding the wall. And then the remaining seven chapters are about rebuilding or restoring the people to the city. So, but we're not there tonight. We're still on the wall, still in the middle of the process of rebuilding the wall. And last week in chapter 4, we begun to look at how discouragement began to creep in because of the opposition from Sanballat and Tobiah. And we feel this sometimes as Christians. We feel discouragement. We feel like the walls are pressing in, like people are pushing in against us, right? And that's kind of how the Israelites were feeling at this point. There was a lot of opposition. But this is one of Satan's greatest weapons against Christians, is discouragement and a fear of, you know, the unknown, fear of, you know, what's going to happen if they conquer, if they push in too much, you know. And this is exactly what Nehemiah was facing as a leader. He had to stand up and be strong for the people, to lead the people. So I know Jim finished around verse 10 last week. I'm going to back up so we can get some context for tonight. So verse 6, we're going to start in verse 6, chapter 4. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it had reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabs and the Ammonites and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. So Sanballat, Tobiah, the other people, when they heard that the walls are going back up, they're not happy. They're angry, very angry. And the enemy does the same thing with us. As you grow as a Christian, there's going to be opposition. The enemy is going to rise up. He's going to be angry that you're building up walls. And a lot of that building up walls is, the deeper we dig into a relationship with God, the more we study our Bible, the more we learn about God, that's building up them walls. And the enemy hates that. He's angry about that. And so nothing new under the sun here. This was God's work they were doing, and the enemy is trying to thwart it. Have you ever tried to stick to a Bible reading plan? You know, you pick a Bible reading plan in January. A lot of times, how far do we get? January 3rd, March? Good. Yeah. We do. So, hey, there's back. So, I've known pastors and leaders who've had their resignation letter typed up, ready to go. I've known faithful servants in churches that one day they're just not there anymore. And so this is a real problem when Satan attacks, when the enemy attacks against us, that we need to stand strong to this. We need to stand up to this. And Satan doesn't want any one of us to succeed. When you become a Christian, it's as if they put a target on your back. Or in other words, you know, there's red dots, red laser dots all over you. The enemy's got you in his sights. He's coming after you because you've chosen to be a child of God. You've chosen to obey God. And Satan hates this, and he will try to stop it. If you believe the Bible is the very word of God, if you read it with the intent to conform to its principles, if you live your life as a follower of Jesus, you are under attack. You will be under attack. He's going to come after you. He comes after every one of us. And He uses friends. He uses family. He uses neighbors, political means, whatever means he needs, he will use to attack us, to come against us, to try to get us discouraged, to try to get us to quit and give up. And that's what he's doing to the workers of the wall here. But instead of running away in fear, getting discouraged, Nehemiah says, we prayed to our God and posted guard for a threat. And he says, we prayed to God. We posted a guard. What other options do we have as Christians? The choice, tuck, tail, or run, or to pray to God and post guards in our lives? We have the two options. We can run and quit, or we can pray to God for strength and we can post guards in our life. I love the song, The Battle Belongs by Phil Wickham. And the song starts out with the line, when all I see is the battle, you see the victory. So when I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high, oh God. The battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night, oh God, because the battle belongs to you. And that's where every one of us need to be in our Christian life. The battle belongs to God. You know, Paul lists out the helmet of truth and the sword of the Spirit and all that. And the armor that we have as a Christian. And we need to be utilizing that. When we're not utilizing that, we're open to that. But when the battle's God's, when we put on that armor of God, he's got it. He runs the battle. The battle belongs to him. And so this is the mentality we need when opposition comes. Drop to your knees. When discouragement comes, drop to your knees. Start in prayer. And then go to your Bible. Put up guards. So Nehemiah has the right approach. He approached it right. Verse 10, meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Also, our enemies said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them, and we will kill them and put an end to the work. Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, whenever you turn, they will attack you. We've tried. We're in over our heads. The enemy's standing there waiting. The people are rightly tired. They've been working on this wall. They can hear the threats. There are people in need of leadership. Proverbs 11:14 says, without wise leadership, a nation fails. And apart from Nehemiah's leadership, the work most likely would have ceased. He was the driving force behind it. And God... we see that God raised up Nehemiah for this very purpose. I've been in Christian ministry long enough, better part of my adult life. And that, let me tell you, there's been times of discouragement. There's been times where the enemy's creeping in. And if it weren't for godly men and godly leaders in my life to encourage me, to build me up, to come alongside me, hey, let's go. There's another day. You live to fight another day. Don't give up. I probably would have given up by now. It's hard. Being a Christian's hard. And we need those leaders in our lives. We need those people to remind us of God's work, to remind us that it is God's work and his burden is light. We don't have to put on this load on ourselves. His burden's light. So it's his work. They said, we're listening to, who are you listening to? See, they had all these people telling them, it's no use. They're right there waiting to kill you guys. But who are we listening to? If we allow the enemy to tell us that it's time to give up, if we allow the enemy to discourage us, then we're listening to the wrong person. This also reminded me of something I read in a book. And God said in Isaiah that my thoughts are not your thoughts, your ways are not my ways. So a lot of times when we serve God, we're serving God his way. Not necessarily the way we would do it, but his way. But God's ways are redemptive. God's ways are loving and compassionate. His ways bring cleansing and forgiveness and build people up. His ways bring humility. His way is of service and love. God does not simply wait to help us achieve our goals for him. He desires to accomplish his own purposes through us in his own way. And this was definitely God's way. And so if it's God's way, God's going to follow it through to completion. We can know that because the Bible says that, that God will follow that through to completion. So we will, when we carry out God's plans with our methods, when we do things our way, we will never see the power of God in what we do. We will only see what we can do through our own work and hard work. God reveals his ways because that's the only way to accomplish his work. When God achieves his purposes in his ways through us, people will come to know God, and God will be glorified. I love that. It's not about me. It's not about what I can accomplish for God. It's what God wants to accomplish, and he's asked me to join him in that. Verse 13, therefore, I stationed some people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters and your wives and your homes. So Nehemiah gives some direction. His words here kind of remind me of that old saying, there's only one way to eat an elephant, one bite at a time. When things look overwhelming, he looks around and he's like, okay, let's start here. Let's just find some place to start. I've heard it was like a graduation speech, and the main point was when you get up in the morning, make your bed. Make your bed every morning. That's at least something that you can look back on the day and say, I've accomplished something. And that's where we need to be. We need leaders to inspire us to do something. You know, they were at that place where they're like, it's overwhelming. I don't know what to do. And here's Nehemiah. Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. That's what we need to be reminded of. God's great and awesome. Not me. Not what I'm looking at. So he starts by filling the gaps and stationing people at the most exposed places. Not randomly. He posts them by their families with their weapons. The Nehemiah reminds the people who God is and who they're fighting for. And when everyone else is telling you things contrary to what the Bible says, remember God is great and awesome. When people are telling you, oh, that's, you can't do that, remember God is great and awesome. When people are coming against you and trying to discourage you, remember God is great and awesome. That's why he reminded these people. He reminded the people how great and awesome they were. Sometimes even leaders need this reminder. I think back to Joshua. In Joshua 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, Joshua, God speaks to him and says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will be extended from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea into the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. This is God reminding his leader, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to them. Be strong and very courageous. God's reminding him again, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful in wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? God says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God had to remind Joshua, Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Funny thing is, at the end of that passage, the Israelites tell him, yeah, we'll go with you. Just be strong and courageous. You know, so he had to be reminded. We need to be reminded. Be strong and courageous because the battle belongs to God. It's not this army against us. It's the battle belongs to God. If it's God's leading, if it's God's work, there is no reason to be afraid. Because if God has called you to it, then he'll be with you wherever you go. If it's God's work, he'll see it to completion. And this is what Nehemiah understood. We're not told that. I'm reading a little into that. I believe he understood that it's God's battle. God's got this. We just need to do the work. We're called to serve. Verse 15, when our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work. It was only after they obeyed that they become aware that God had frustrated the enemy's plot. Obedience is the only acceptable response for a Christian. Remember that time when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt and they're standing there basically between a rock and a hard place? You know, here's the sea in front of them and the Egyptian army's bearing down on them. God told Moses, go out and raise your staff and stretch your hand over the sea. It wasn't until Moses did that that God parted the sea. Joshua, leading the Israelites into the promised land, they came to Jericho. It wasn't until the priests had stepped into the water, until they obeyed, that God parted the water. At the Battle of Jericho, it wasn't until the last time that they marched around and shouted that the walls came down. Obedience is required of every Christian. We could recount so many more examples of this, but we see this pattern in Scripture that God requires obedience. In fact, that's what it's meant to be, a servant of the Lord. A servant is somebody who obeys their master's word. The servant doesn't have the option of deciding whether or not to obey. Choosing to not obey God's commands is rebellion. But it was after they went back to the work, when they put back to the work, that God revealed that he frustrated their enemy. They didn't see that until after they obeyed. James says that faith without works is dead, or to put it another way, our obedience reveals or proves our faith. When the Israelite army faced Goliath, David knew that God was bigger, and he stepped up as he felt God had called him to do, and God conquered the enemy. Now, one rock, one little stone, God guided that right where it needed to go. Our obedience or lack of it reveals what we believe about God. And for Nehemiah, his focus is keep on the wall, keep on the wall. Let's keep on the wall. Obedience. Verse 16. From that day on, half of my men did the work while the other half were equipped with spears, shield, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon with the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. So because of the threats of the enemy, the work didn't stop. Rather, they continued to work. But at the same time, they were prepared for battle. They were prepared to protect their families and their home. This is true multitasking. You know, you got a shield in one arm and a shovel in the other, you know, and they're working and working, and they're watching and working. They continued to work, and they were ready to defend their work. This is what Paul tells Timothy that we should strive to become, or that he should have strived to become. Paul in 2 Timothy 2:15 tells Timothy to work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Be a good worker and correctly explain the word of truth, or correctly handle the word of truth. What's Paul refer to the word of truth as? The sword. So here, Timothy's told, work hard, carry your sword. Same thing Nehemiah did back then. This is what every believer is called to be. In fact, Paul describes the church, each and every one of us, as a part of the body of Christ. And that he says that we each have our own part to play. But then at the end of that, he says, if one part suffers, all parts suffers. Meaning that if I'm not holding my shield and my shovel, then another part of the body is going to suffer. If I've not got my sword on the lookout, and I'm not building my part of the wall, then another part of the body or another part of the church is going to suffer. And this is what it means to be a church, that we work together. We're looking out for one another. You know, they obviously were looking out for one another. We'll see here in a few minutes that they, you know, when they blew the trumpet, that they all came together, you know, to fight a common enemy. But when, as a church, are we doing this? Are we holding up our part? You know, sometimes it's very little. It's very simple. Other times it's a bigger part. We all have a part to play. Are we doing our part? Just as each person had their own part of the wall to rebuild and to protect, we each, as a part of the body of Christ, have rebuilding and protecting that we need to do too. And just as they all work together to complete the wall, so we all must work together to complete God's work. You know, if God's at work redeeming a lost world, then we need to be at work rebuilding those walls in people, helping people rebuild the walls in their lives. We need to be at work encouraging people to continue, not give up. And that's what we do. That's if one part suffers, it all suffers. Verse 19, then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. Even with all the people working, the work is still extensive. It's still spread out. And so Nehemiah kept this one man to sound a trumpet with him at all times. And whatever they heard, whenever they heard the trumpet, they would know, head towards the sound of the trumpet blast. That's the enemy must be there. Let's all join together. But know this, our God will fight for us. When it's God's work, God will fight the battle. Yeah.
One of the things that I think people don't realize is they were prepared. The problem with the church today is we're not prepared.
No.
We're not reading, we're not spending time in prayer. So when the enemy comes, it's easier to fall away.
Yeah. Yep.
You got an enemy whether you see him or not. The question are you going to stand up for your family?
Yeah.
Are you going to stand up as a man of God? And this is where you see a lot of people fall away a lot of times, family, trouble, hardship. And if our God is for us, who could be against us?
Yeah.
I received a text message not long ago from a pastor friend, and he said, you know, you blessed me so much.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I look at it. He goes, you've always been strong in your walk. There's times I feel weak just like everybody.
Yeah.
But where else can you go? There's only one who loves you.
Yeah, when the crowds were leaving Jesus,
yeah.
He looked at his disciples and said, you going to follow them?
He said, no, where are we going to go?
Yeah, where are we going to go? You have the path to life. I heard somehow I've been finding these old Billy Graham crusade videos, and at one of his crusades, he's talking about Jonah running from the Lord, and he said, Satan will always have a boat there ready for you. There's always going to be a boat there ready for you. You know, Satan's going to make the way away from God easy. And I was talking to Jim about this the other day. You know, salvation in a person's life, that's between them and God. You know, we can plant the seed, but God is the one who gives the increase. But then after that, what are we called to? Disciple. Yes. That's how we build the wall. We disciple. We, you know, even if it's, you know, I said that there was these guys that encouraged me. Some of them were not pastors. Most of them, there was two or three pastors that I could think of off the top of my head. The rest were just general people in church. I remember when I was in high school, there was this old guy that was, he was like the custodian of the school, and he would encourage me throughout my life. I mean, I could pinpoint people. And so each one of us have a role to play. I think it's in Titus. He tells Titus that the old men should teach the younger men. The older women should teach the younger women. And they should basically disciple each other so that we can all be built up. We've heard the phrase before, iron sharpens iron. You know, we need that in a church. And when that's not happening, it's breaking down. The walls are breaking down. The whole body suffers. And we can see that. You know, you were talking about that. We can see that in our churches in America today, that the whole body is suffering. You know, because we're not standing up. We're not rebuilding that wall. We're not doing our part on the wall. And the wall is the first defense. And so if the enemy's able to get through the wall, then he's able to plant seeds in our mind. He's able to infiltrate and discourage and get us feeling down and everything and get us to quit. His goal, steal, kill, and destroy, is still the same goal. And the way he gets Christians is to get them discouraged, get them to walk away, get them to quit. But when it's God's work, when we realize I'm not the one having to do the work here, it's God's work. All I got to do is be living the way I'm supposed to be living. All I'm supposed to be, you know, God says the first commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That means I'm in my Bible. That means I'm in a relationship with Jesus. That means I'm doing my part. And then the second commandment is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. It's pretty easy for us to do. You know, seems pretty easy for us to do. Yeah. Everything else will fall in line. Discipleship, we don't need to make that happen. It'll naturally happen if we're loving God and loving other people. All this stuff that happens, when the work on the wall, the rebuilding, it all comes naturally when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. You know, the work's extensive. Everybody's spread out. There's a lot to be done. But if we're doing our part, then we're doing our part. And that's all we got to worry about is our part. When God does the work, when it's God's work, God will fight the battle. We see this played out often in the Old Testament. The Egyptian army, God defeats them. The Assyrian army, God defeats them. You know, here they are sitting there chewing their nails and being afraid, and God's like, it's gone. Don't worry about it. You know, when it's God's battle, God wins. Yeah.
When you're teaching you, you're helping disciples. Yeah. We always want someone to come right next to you. But if you're teaching, you're working with people, encouraging people, you're lifting up the bar.
Yeah.
That's what we're called to do.
One thing I love, and I'm sure you're the same, you love it when you get done with a sermon and all you got to, the only thing on your lips to talk about is the Bible. And you get with your group and you're like, yeah, did you see that? You know, that's discipleship. Coming alongside somebody and, you know, I mean, hold the door is not necessarily discipleship, but there's people watching you hold that door. Picking up trash, that's not necessarily discipleship, but there's always somebody watching us. And I tell people, well, I've got a few people here that's in my class on Sunday mornings, and was in my class on Sunday mornings. And we've talked about this, how if I'm living my life the way I'm supposed to be living, people are watching, but God can use me. God can work through that. People are always watching. They're always seeing, okay, I know they're struggling with something. Let's see how that works out for them. See if their God comes through for them. And you know what? If it's God's work, God wins the battle every time. And so the world around us does not need to see what we can do on our own, in our own puny strength. Rather, people desperately need to witness what God can accomplish through willing servants. These people were willing to stand up and fight for their homes, for their families, for their city. Are we willing to stand up and fight for our families, our home, our church, our city, our nation? If it's God's work and God is the one who called us to it, then he will see it through to completion. He will fight for us. He will do the work. All we're called to do is follow him. Love God, love others. That's all we're called to do. It's simple. I've always been a jack-of-all-trades kind of guy. So naturally, I'm kind of the jack-of-all-trades pastor here. And so I regularly get to do lists of things. I get lists of things to do. A lot of times it's flyers and light bulbs, stuff like that. Very little, just sitting down reading and praying. Yeah, it's funny because a lot of people are like, oh, pastors, they just get to sit and read their Bible and pray all day. No, there's a lot more that goes on that. But as a kind of the jack-of-all-trades pastor around here, I get a lot to do. But that's what God has called me to do. I'm called to serve. I'm called to serve my pastors in what they need so that they can do what they're called to do. And this is what God's called me to do. So what has God called you to do? God calls each and every one of us to do something. What part of the wall have you been called to repair? What section are you prepared to defend? The work is extensive and spread out, and God is calling each of us to do our own part. The sad thing is that in my own strength, I could do almost everything that needs to be done to keep services running here. In fact, when we had the pandemic and we were shut down, there was only a handful of us here, and I found out we could run that sound booth on one person, you know, on a Sunday morning. And so there's a lot that, in my own strength, I could do on my own. But there's a lot of times it's like, no, do we have somebody else that can help with this or that? Because in my own strength, I'll get burnt out. I'll get worn down. But we all take a part in this. So there's always something for somebody to do. I don't need to try to do it all in my own strength because then discouragement's going to set in. Burnout will set in. Because I'm doing things on my own strength. The world does not need to see what we can do in our own strength. They need to see what God can do. And if people are watching, they need to see what God can do. Verse 21, so we continued the work. I love this. So we continued the work with half the men holding spears from the first light of dawn till the stars came out. At that time, I also said to the people, have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night, so they can serve as guards by night and workers by day. Neither I nor my brothers nor my men nor the guards with me took off our clothes. Each had his weapon even when he went for water. In spite of threats, in spite of discouragement, in spite of burnout, we continued the work, he says. This is the key to the Christian life. Just continue to do what God has called you to do. Don't give up. Continue. Every man and his helper should stay in Jerusalem at night. He says, so if they aren't physically working on the wall, they can guard the wall. You know, if we don't have enough people to cover, then some of us have to do double duty or something. You know, we step up to the plate because, yeah, this is the body of Christ, but in a body, this is our family. You guys are my brothers and sisters. And as such, I want to see you guys succeed. I want to see you guys never give up, to live the Christian life to its fullest. I want to see you guys grow in this Christian life. And so I'm going to do my part. I'm going to go beyond if I need to help see that happen. And because we're family. You know, there's something about family. And I know a lot of times a lot of people think of family as blood. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes family is who you choose. You know, I mean, God placed me here, but I choose you guys. I choose this family. And so I want to stand up for this family. And so I'm continuing to work. And I love that. Throughout everything that they faced, the opposition and everything, it says, so we continued to work. He said, neither I nor my brothers nor any men nor the guards took off our clothes. I'm sure that they got some downtime somewhere to freshen up, but I'm sure in these, it was 52 days, I believe. So, you know, I'm sure that 52 days was pretty grueling and everything, but God took care of them. We'll leave that up to God on the smells and stuff coming from there. Yeah. Yeah.
To encourage, to help strengthen, to uplift. Yeah. That's why the walls got to clean.
Yeah. A good leader, I've heard it said, where the pastor goes, there goes the church. It's the same thing. If the leadership is doing what they're supposed to be doing, is living the life they're supposed to be living, the whole church is going to follow along. You know, we've heard it said, light one person on fire and everybody will come to watch them burn. That same thing is true in churches. One person, especially in leadership, that catches fire and that people will follow along. I mean, we're a bunch of followers, let's admit it. We're a bunch of followers. So, you know, give us a good leader and we'll follow behind them. And there's something about Nehemiah. But it wasn't Nehemiah. It was that God had called somebody to that position and that place, and that person was Nehemiah.
He was obedient.
Any one of us could be a Nehemiah for our day. God could use any one of us to rebuild walls, to strengthen marriages, to encourage people away from sin, to discourage sin in people's life. And God could use any one of us. Don't ever discount your life as a Christian as, you know, oh, God can't use me because of this. God can use each and every one of us just as he used Nehemiah. The only difference is Nehemiah was obedient. And I know there's times in my life where I haven't been obedient, and looking back and it's like, well, I wish I would have stepped up and done that. I wish I would have been obedient to God in that. We saw this in the vast majority of the work that needed to be done. Jesus, in Matthew 9, he's teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the field. And this should be our prayer tonight. You know, we see the, 20, 30 of us here tonight? Let's pray that God would send more workers. You know, we don't need every seat filled in this church to be successful. We need the lives of every person in this church to be where they're supposed to be. And that's success in God's eyes. But don't give up. Don't give up. The writer of the book of Hebrews said it best when he wrote, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. You know, as we build the wall, it's a race. It's a marathon. Don't give up. Don't let sin trip you up. Don't let sin disqualify you. Satan would love to disqualify any one of us with sin, with discouragement, with anything. Don't give up. Remember, the battle belongs to the Lord. When I see this battle, I love this song so much. When I see this battle, you see victory. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees. With my hands lifted high, O God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night, O God, the battle belongs to you. Remember, the battle belongs to God. All we're called to do is love God and love others. That's it. That's our part on the wall. Love God, love others. Everything else will work itself out. All your fears, lay them at God's feet. The battle's his. Don't give up. There's always another day to fight. Amen? Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you tonight, Lord. We pray that you would make us men and women like Nehemiah, to be leaders in this generation. Lord, we see people that are, Lord, if we look around this world, we see people that are looking for a leader. They're looking for something to follow. Lord, may it be us. May you raise up leaders in this church to take us into the 21st century, Lord. May you raise up leaders that will see the need and step up and encourage people and rebuild the walls. Lord, in each and every one of us, may we be seeking after you as we should. May we be loving you as we should. Lord, forgive us for those times where we look to the things of this world instead of you. Lord, forgive us of those times that we run after the things of this world instead of running after you. Lord, we want to serve you. We want to know you. We want to see you. We want to love you. Lord, there's so many distractions. Don't let us get distracted or discouraged. Lord, help us to not give up tonight. Lord, the battle is yours. We lay it at your feet. You got this. All you call us to do is love you and love each other. And so, Lord, we just pray that we can do that more and more each day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.